gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 63 for New Comic Book Day, July 5th, 2017. Halfway through the year, man.
I know, it's crazy. I'm like, where did the time go?
Uh-huh. Well, I'm your host, Ken Rose. Sitting along with me in the basement of Hall of Justice, as always, is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody.
So, Vern, Comic-Con's coming up in like 2 weeks.
Yep, very soon. I'm expecting to see that Justice League trailer. That's the most exciting thing for me right now.
Well, we got a lot of news coming out of Comic-Con. Most of the panels and events that are happening at Comic-Con have been announced. We're going to be covering a lot of that this week. We've got a little bit of news other than that coming out. I mean, most of it is Comic-Con news. The CW has released a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
We actually got a lot of information on the new Legends of Tomorrow season.
Yeah, we did. I think that's the first thing they really want people to, you know, reel them in with.
Yeah. Well, before we get into all the news and reviews and everything you expect from here, we got a little bit of housekeeping we got to do. Remember, next week, the next show, issue 64, we're going to be switching from Facebook Live to YouTube Live, in theory.
Mm-hmm.
We're still working on the details. If anything changes and we stay on Facebook for a couple weeks, we'll let you know. But if everything goes according to plan, we'll be on YouTube Live next week. We'll let you know when that's going to be and tweet it out and Facebook and everything else so everybody knows.
Now we have to look this up, and in theory it should work the same as Facebook Live. Once we post it, it stays there. So after we get it on YouTube Live, it should stay there forever.
Okay.
Unless we delete it.
Yeah. So this is something we're we've heard from a couple of you super friends out there saying that YouTube Live may be a little bit easier to get a hold of and a little bit more accessible, so that's where we're going to try to go with this. So let's go ahead and jump into this then. This is interesting, an actual afternoon show for us. Usually we're doing it in late evening.
we've started to join Batman almost at that point, but
yeah.
We're going to get an early start on it. Plus, it's the holiday. No one wants to do this on the holiday, right?
Mm-hmm. So why don't you start with the beginning story with Green Arrow. This is actually news that came out of Stephen Amell at one of his panels at the Heroes and Villains Fan Fest.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is something I was really happy to see because I've been saying this for years. I remember when the first season came out, I wanted more Green Arrow than we got. We got more of like the Frank Miller Green Arrow.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the main Green Arrow. He's been, you know, humorous, serious, and also was very political. Well, from the words and the mouth of Stephen Amell, going into season 6 after the season 5 finale, at this panel that he did over the past week for the Heroes and Villains Fan Fest, Amell stated, "I've said it's very, very important that Oliver Queen doesn't take a... If he doesn't take a lesson from season 5 and doesn't keep going and keeps doing the same things that led him to this catastrophic event, the character stops being interesting to me. So I hope part of that is in season 6. And if we have the season beyond that, I hope that the part that we get is back to a lot of the tendencies that people recognize from the comic books. And that, of course, is the humor, the social conscience, and slightly liberal superhero. Originally, the clean-shaving Robin Hood-esque character was during the 1940s inception from similar elements of Batman, the Arrow Cave, the Arrow Car, the Aeroplane, etc., etc."
Yeah, he had the Aeroplane.
Yeah, Arrow.
You just heard that, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's the first time you put that together.
The 40s. But O'Neill said that Adams took Oliver Queen in a different direction in the late 1960s, throughout the early 70s as well. Their take on Oliver Queen had him grow a goatee, lose his fortune, and become an essential social crusader. During this classic run on Green Lantern and Green Arrow, which was a great run, that revealed a lot of stories and they got very political and things that we needed to know. And Emerald Archer was a former brotherly bond with Hal Jordan and a road trip across America and tackling life issues such as drug abuse, abortional rights. Wow.
Aboriginal rights.
Oh, I figured it was that since it was, Green Arrow.
Yeah.
And corporate America, which that's what he was known for also in the Justice League
mm-hmm.
cartoon that I'm right.
Well, that's what he's tackling right now in the Green Arrow comics also, because mm-hmm. he's trying to fight to get control of Queen Industries back.
And I was saying they did a little bit of that in Season 5.
Yeah.
They touched on some things. This train was following in Green Arrow and the Longbow Hunters of Andrew Kreisberg and Mark
Guggenheim.
Guggenheim, thank you.
Yeah, that's what they Kreisberg and Guggenheim, when they created Arrow, the original concept was started with Green Arrow Longbow Hunters.
Mm, okay.
That's where the idea of the island and that type of thing comes from.
Ah, okay. Well, Emil said that he wants to take a trail on him during the hard line of the drug abuse in season one with his sister. That's right. And then
he did,
with
he
Roy
had
Harper
done that.
In the comic books. That's the one I remember. Oh, man, that was a pretty big issue.
And later on, we've seen recently that he's tackling political arenas with being the mayor. And he's hoping to see that you actually get to see Green Arrow tackling a lot more of like the social change and things using his bow, but more as using more of Green Arrow and not as much as Ollie.
Okay. Well, hopefully we get to see more of a comic book Green Arrow.
Last season, it seemed like there was a lot more political stuff in there, but that was all the shows.
Right. And plus he was mayor.
Also, part of it also was we had a very tense political climate in America in the real world.
Yeah, we did.
Which was bleeding into our comic book TV shows. And most of the shows tackled stuff from that.
I think we had two episodes from last season that actually touched on the issues we were dealing with in real life.
Yeah.
So. And those were pretty good. I thought they handled them pretty well.
Mm-hmm. So that's what Amel wanted to do with those.
I'm saying all Amel needs to do. I know he said previously he's not growing out the goatee. He needs the goatee.
Yeah.
If he can grow it out. But it's Hollywood. They have makeup.
Well, we have a Legends of Tomorrow story, but it kind of bleeds in with the story we have here about all the different panels of what DC Comics is bringing to Comic-Con. So let's start off with what DC is bringing to Comic-Con. And then from there, we'll branch off into the... We'll branch off into the Legend story with that.
Okay, yeah.
Now, Comic-Con, like I said, is coming up in 2 weeks. You got... the dates are sitting right here. They're not looking at me in the face.
The dates, the time.
It's the weekend of July 20th. I know that. But all the DC Comics shows and cartoons are coming to Comic-Con. And I believe there's a couple of panels for movies and comic books also.
Yeah. But the panel right here seems like nothing but CW TV shows.
Well, they said, just a quick overview of it was, WB TV is going to start Wednesday night before Comic-Con with a special sneak peek screening, pilot screenings, in Ballroom 20, from 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. They're going to screen the pilots for, DC TV shows such as Black Lightning.
Yay.
Krypton.
Yay.
And Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
And then they have this as a 4-hour block. So you're going to have other stuff in there too. So I don't know what other ones they're going to show.
But these are the main ones that they want to hit on. And we've went over our Black Lightning. We've seen our trailer for that. We kind of got a synopsis for what's going to be going on there. Teen Titans Go, we've seen our radio. It's been on TV for a couple of years now. Krypton's the thing that I'm more
interested
in.
Krypton's going to be cool to see what they do.
Hopefully we can get that on YouTube or something, maybe a day later.
Mm-hmm. Now, it says Thursday morning is going to be just the fun one, because Thursday morning you're going to get Teen Titans Go. Actually, let me go through the actual full list, which is down here. So that was Wednesday night. Thursday, July 20th. At 10 p.m., you get the Teen Titans Go 1-hour episode and Q&A. So it's a 1-hour... Well, then the Q&A is only going to go about 15 minutes, because a 1-hour episode is going to be about 45 minutes. They're going to have about 15 minutes for questions and answers, and that's it.
Move on to the next one.
The description is, new episode, new episode, new episode. The Titans are back at it again with another fun-filled panel to kick off your Comic-Con weekend. And did we mention that we'll be screening a brand new episode? Join producers Michael Jelenic, Aaron Horvath, Peter McHale, and members of the voice cast, including Greg Kripes, Tara Strong, and Scott Menville, as they answer your questions and premiere a Titan-sized special 1-hour episode produced by Warner Brothers Animation. Oh, that's just information about Teen Titans Go there.
Yeah.
This is in Room 6A at Comic-Con. Then also on Thursday, the next one is Lego. There we go.
There
at 12:30, from 12:30 to 1:30 in Room 6A, the same room, you get... Oh, Warner Brothers keeps that room for the first 3 hours because they have a... right after the Teen Titans Go, they have a Unikitty panel.
I had to do some research on there because I had no idea what
that
was.
And she's actually one of the characters from the Lego movie.
Okay.
Well, then going in at 12:30 to 1:30, you get Justice League Action, video presentation, and Q&A.
And that's also another good little animated TV show they got.
I need to sit down. Now that I actually have the ability to, I need to sit down and watch that.
Since we have Fire Sticks now.
Yeah. So, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman lead the DC superheroes against their most infamous foes in adventures packed with relentless thrills, fun, and action in Justice League Action. Whether defending the Earth, facing invaders from space, or battling the bizarre forces of magic, the always rotating team of Justice League heroes are up to any... Or up to any challenge. Producers Jim Krieg and Butch Lukic will be joined by members of the voice cast, including Diedrich Baker, Jason J. Lewis, Rachel Kimsey, and voice director Wes Gleason to screen an all-new episode as well as participate in the Q&A. That is also, like I said, in Room 6A. So that's what we have for Thursday. You get the Teen Titans Go and Justice League Action. Then moving on to Friday, we got Big Bang Theory, which is Warner Brothers, but it's not us. At 10 o'clock, here's the big one.
Yes, now this is
the first of the really big panels.
This is a great return.
This is from 10 o'clock till 11 o'clock in room 6, B, C, and F. You'll have Young Justice Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
Young Justice is back. Do not miss the show's triumphant return to Comic-Con as series producers Greg Weisman, Brandon Vietti, and key members of the creative team, including art director Phil... Bourassa will be on hand to answer your burning questions about the first two seasons of this beloved fan favorite series, and if you're lucky, you might learn a thing or two about the highly anticipated Young Justice Outsiders. So this is actually
they're
supposed to be focusing on seasons 1 and 2, but I don't know how much of that they're going to cover.
You know, people want to know about season three. Who's going to be back? Who's new?
Yeah.
Who we're going to expect?
And how exactly are they working Outsiders into this?
Yeah,
because the Outsiders is. And actually, in what was it, Batman that we're going to see this week?
Mm-hmm.
The Outsiders are mentioned again because the Outsiders were Batman's
young team,
Batman's covert operations mm-hmm. type team.
And if I remember, as I said, they were younger too.
Yeah,
they were.
Well, if you look, it's
about Titans age.
Let me look here real quick. The pictures the people they have on here. I don't even remember what page it was on. At some point, was it in this issue? You just read this issue.
You mean the mention or them showing
when they talked
them?
About the Outsiders, they showed a picture of it. No, that
was that
in
was
Detective
the last,
last
one.
Week,
that was, yeah,
it?
Last
okay.
one.
I don't have Detective here in front of me. So the next one up is a DC Comics panel at 11:15 to 12:15. We get the iZombie special video presentation and Q&A. And that's going to be in Ballroom 20. Now, you still watch iZombie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has it been good this season?
Oh, yeah, every season's been good. I haven't finished the whole... What are we on? Season 3 now? Yeah, season 3.
I think so, yeah. Is it still playing, or is it finished for the season?
It's finished, yeah. I just have to finish catching up with it. But luckily, it is on Netflix, so I don't have to go through the CW commercials.
Nice. Okay. Well, this is from 11:30 a.m. till 11:15 to 12:15. iZombie special video presentation and Q&A. Everyone's favorite zombie-com rom drama is back... After the heart-stopping events of the iZombie season finale, the secret is out. The public is no longer in the dark about the existence of zombies.
Should I close my ears on the rest of this?
Well, with Seattle now under zombie control and at the hands of Fillmore Graves, Ravi's search for a cure and vaccine for zombieism is now more dire than ever.
Mm.
Be among the first to get the scoop on what's in store for Liv and the Gang in Season 4. Join us for a special video presentation followed by a Q&A with series stars Rose McKilver, Malcolm Goodwin, Raoul Coley, Robert Buckley, David Anders, and Ali Michaela. Yeah, I totally butchered that.
That's
Michaela?
Let me go back up here. I was reading a little further to see what else we had on here.
It says, as well as there's executive producers Rob Thomas and Diane Ruggiero-Wright. And this is, like I said, this is going to be in Ballroom 20 from 11:15 to 12:15 p.m. or a.m. to p.m. on Friday. The next one that we have up is, let me scroll down. That's it for Friday.
Yeah, I was also going to say, for Saturday? Yeah, Saturday we start off with Riverdale. That is mm-hmm. not really us, but...
That's not us either.
There's a lot of things in that article that's related to us, with the Flash, Supergirl, Arrow,
yeah.
DC's Legends.
That's coming later on. So we got Riverdale, they're going to have a panel on the originals, they're going to have... There we go.
Krypton.
From 115 to 145 in the Indigo Ballroom, they have Krypton special video presentation and Q&A. Set. Now, this is only a half-hour panel.
Yeah, which is
kind of small.
I figured it was going to be a little bit longer and a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Well, it says set 2 generations before the destruction of the legendary Man of Steel's home planet, Krypton, or home planet, Krypton follows Superman's grandfather, whose House of El is ostracized and shamed, as he fights to redeem his family's honor and save his beloved world from chaos. Hmm. Join series star Cameron Cuff and executive producers Damian Kindler and Cameron Welsh
for a
sneak peek. What?
I was going to say, they have some pretty good resumes there.
Yeah. Well, Damian Kindler is from Sleepy Hollow. Cameron Welsh did Ash vs. the Evil Dead and Constantine.
Yeah, but now I wonder if they meant the movie or the show, Constantine.
Probably the show.
Okay.
But join the producers for a sneak peek of the upcoming series, followed by an out-of-the-world Q&A. This is in the Indigo Ballroom. Now, remember, anybody who's in San Diego direction, you can see the actual premiere of the pilot episode on Wednesday night. So,
can't wait for that, because Krypton just... This is the only TV show that's actually connected to the films, right?
I think it looks like it might be. The tech and the way Krypton is being portrayed looks like it matches the Man of Steel universe.
I know previously, at least those were rumors. I don't know if those were confirmed, but in the beginning when all this came out, they did say it would be connected to the movie universe of the Man of Steel.
Yeah, well, it's easy to do because it's so far in the past.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what Gotham does, but I think Krypton will have more room to do whatever they want since it's so long ago.
Yeah, so we'll find out. But then from 150 to 250, we have the Lucifer special video presentation and Q&A. Now,
I have not even checked out the last season. I heard it was really good.
Dawn over Geek Watch 1, Dawn and Kylan have been watching it. Dawn said she actually really likes it.
Okay, I loved the first season. I then tried to get back in the second, but everything else we were watching at that time.
Yeah.
That was just one of the few shows I said I'll come back to.
There's so many that on my list that I'm like, you know what, this is not directly a superhero show, just didn't have time to catch it. But it says, Lucifer returns to San Diego to heat things up. The climactic events of the season finale left us wondering, where in the world is Lucifer and how did he get his wings back?
I seen a picture of that online somewhere.
Well, join series stars Tom Ellis, Lauren German, Rachel Harris, Kevin Alejandro, Amy Garcia, Trisha Helfer, and executive producers Joe Henderson and Ildi Mudrovich. For a special video presentation and Q&A, where they'll discuss the sizzling second season and what's in store for Lucifer in season 3. This is also in the Indigo Ballroom. So this may be like the other day where they had room 6. Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like they're going to have the ballroom all day. Because the next one up right behind that, also in the Indigo Ballroom, is the Gotham special video presentation and Q&A. Gotham's origin story continues to unfold. As the show enters its fourth season, the stakes will be higher than ever. With the Court of Owls decimated, the aftermath of the Tetch virus crippling the city, and every surviving villain in Gotham's underworld jockeying for power, Jim Gordon and the GCPD will have their hands full. And that's just the beginning. What threat does Ra's al Ghul pose? And will Penguin regain his title as King of Gotham? What new villains are in store for Season 4? And what does Bruce Wayne's season finale reveal mean to Gotham City and his ultimate destiny? Be among the first to see what's in store for the season 4 as Gotham returns to the Comic-Con with special video presentation followed by a Q&A with series stars and producers from Warner Brothers Television. Now, it doesn't say anything about who's actually going to be there.
Mm-mm, not yet. Maybe we can get an update. But if not, we'll be a good little surprise.
Yeah. So that is from 250 to 350... in the Indigo Ballroom on Saturday.
It'd be nice if we could get the actor that plays Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. He would be awesome. Alexander Siddig.
Mm, good actor.
Yeah. So the next one up we have is right after that you get Supergirl, the Supergirl special video presentation and Q&A in Ballroom 20. No, wait a minute. Let me see here. Now this is all the DC Television panels. We've not seen anything about the...
Oh, man.
Maybe next week we'll look into finding any of the other DC Comics panels that are going to be there for comic books or movies or any of that stuff.
Yeah, for now this is just TV, so...
Yeah. Well, Supergirl is from 3:30 till 4:10, which is only 40 minutes.
And then they're probably going to bring in... Yeah, and they got to bring in another one after that.
Yeah, it looks like all the CW television or superhero ones are going to be 40 minutes, because the next one is also 40. But it says, ridding National City of Queen Rhea and her Daxamite army was a major win for Supergirl, but one that has a significant cost. As Kara was forced to sacrifice her budding relationship with Mon-El, when Season 3 returns with all new supercharged adventures this fall on the CW, Kara and team will come up against a new threat in the form of the DC World Killer, Rain. Want to know more about Rain and what she has in store for the Girl of Steel? Join the series cast and creative team for a special video presentation, followed by a Q&A where they'll discuss this and this hot topic and more. That is in Ballroom 20 also. Now, this is a change. It's not the Indigo Ballroom. This one's Ballroom 20. Then following that, right afterwards, that one goes to 410.
Now, I'll say we touched on Rain before, but I'm just thinking because she was a newer character they just put in there a couple of years ago, who knows what else they might add to her in the TV show.
Yeah, they could be a totally different character for all we know. So, following that, starting at 410, when that one's supposed to release, is the DC's Legends of Tomorrow special video presentation. That's, like, more of a tongue twister than you think.
Yeah, you would.
And Q&A.
I'll just say, now this one we're going to get into a little bit later, but we got the most information on this one.
Yeah, this one we got some actual good synopsis and stuff. Now, this is the description for the panel. It says, after crash landing the Wave Rider in a version of 2017 Los Angeles, where dinosaurs roam the streets and the skyline is adorned with London's iconic Big Ben clock tower, the legends were quick to realize that we broke time.
Whoops.
Last year, the lovable band of misfit heroes traveled throughout the timeline, fixing a series of aberrations. This year, they'll turn the crazy up to 11. As a wave of anachronisms turns history on its head, leaving the legends responsible for piecing it back together. What is an anachronism, you ask? For the answer to that, and many other questions, join cast members Victor Garber, Brandon Routh, Dominic Purcell, Katie Lotz, Franz Drama, Nick Zano, Maisie Richardson-Sellers, and producers at their annual Comic-Con panel. This is in Ballroom 20 from 410 till 450. Now, comicbook.com got even more of a description for the series premiere. So that was what they're doing at Comic-Con specifically, but there's a lot of speculation to be done about Season 3, including what in the world is an anachronism, or how are they using that? And also, we've been told that there's an inclusion of a cult favorite DC Comics character coming. Which I'm wondering, are they talking about Isis with that? Because we already know Isis is coming.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's her or someone.
Or they're going to bring someone else that's even a bigger name. Else.
How many times do we get new characters, though, in each season? That's pretty big.
Usually it's one or two new characters.
Yeah. So maybe someone they're not going to tell us yet.
There's actually a bigger description of the premiere that was put up here. It says, after the defeat of Eobard Thawne and his equally nefarious Legion of Doom, the Legends face a new threat created by their actions at the end of the last season. By revisiting a moment in time that they had already participated in, they had essentially fractured the timeline and created anachronisms, which is a scattering of people, animals, and objects across all time. Our team must find a way to return all of the anachronisms to their original timelines before the time stream falls apart. But before our legends can jump back into action, Rip Hunter and his newly established Time Bureau call their methods into question. With the Time Bureau effectively the new sheriffs in town, the legends disband.
Oh.
Until Mick Rory discovers one of them in the middle of his well-deserved vacation in Aruba.
Of course, you know, he finally made it to Aruba. And plus, he goes to Aruba. But last year, he was the reason that they all got back together.
Yeah. Why don't you look up the Time Bureau there? Because I could have sworn that's something actually out of DC Comics. So Time Bureau, DC Comics, or something.
Okay.
But let me continue here. Seeing this as an opportunity to continue their time-traveling heroics, Sarah wastes no time in getting the legends back together. Let me scroll down here. Well, we reunite with billionaire inventor Ray Palmer, the unconventional historian-turned-superhero Nick Haywood, and Professor Martin Stein and Jefferson Jackson, who together form the Metahumans Firestorm. Once reunited, the legends will challenge the Time Bureau's authority over the timeline and insist that, however messy their methods may be, some problems are beyond the Bureau's capabilities. Some problems can only be fixed by legends. So that basically gives you the general idea of what this is going to be for this season. And it sounds like it's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, as always.
And this is a show that we've shown that since it's coming out of season 3 that every season is a totally different idea of what they have to do.
Mm-hmm. I'm still missing.
Are you finding anything
Capricorn
on the Time Bureau?
No, I'm not finding anything on them. I found Time Masters.
Well, listeners, super friends, let us know if you remember what the Time Bureau is. Is that some? I think that was what Rip Hunter was from originally, or something like that.
Maybe. Like I said, I found Time Masters. I couldn't find anything on Time Bureau.
Okay.
They could be the same thing.
If we're missing it and we can't find it, because I know it's you guys are screaming at your devices now. let us know if you know where the Time Bureau is from, if it's actually from the comic books or not. But moving on at Comic-Con, we get there's a Westworld panel. At 4:50 till 5:10. So this is only a 20-minute panel, which is interesting that it's going to be that small. We get the Black Lightning special video presentation and Q&A. Black Lightning makes its Comic-Con debut. Jefferson Pierce, a man, is a man wrestling with a secret. As the father of two daughters and principal of a charter high school that also serves as a safe haven for young people in a neighborhood overrun by gang violence, he is a hero to his community. 9 years ago, Pierce was a hero of a different sort, gifted with the superhuman power to harness and control electricity. He used those powers to keep his hometown streets safe as the masked vigilante Black Lightning. However, after too many nights with his life on the line and seeing the effects of the damage and loss that his alter ego was inflicting on his family, he left his superhero days behind and settled into being a principal and a dad. Choosing to help his city without using his superpowers, he watched his daughters, Anissa and Jennifer, grow into strong young women, even though his marriage to their mother, Lynn, suffered. Almost a decade later, Pierce's crime-fighting days are long behind him, or so he thought. Mm. But with the crime and corruption spreading like wildfire, and those he cares about in the crosshairs of the menacing local gang, the 100, Black Lightning returns to save not only his family, but also the soul of his community.
He's getting called back into action.
That's right. Join series stars Cress Williams, Nafisa Williams, China Ann McClain, and Christine Adams, along with executive producers Salim Akil and Mara Brock Akil, for an exclusive sneak peek of the upcoming series, along with an electrifying Q&A session. And this is also in Ballroom 20. Mm. Then following that, in Ballroom 20 also, we get The Flash, special video presentation and Q&A.
So many questions are going to be asked of this one.
Hope
we get enough answers.
Running up against an evil remnant version of yourself is something no one should ever have to do. But that's exactly what faced Barry Allen, a.k.a. The Flash, as he fought to save the life of fiancé Iris West from the god of speed known as Savitar. Barry's victory was short-lived, however, as an unbalanced speed force began to wreak havoc on Central City, forcing Barry to sacrifice himself for the greater good. With the fastest man alive now trapped inside an extra-dimensional energy and unknown dangers lurking in the shadows, it will be up to Team Flash to free Barry from his own personal hell. Join cast members Grant Gustin, Jesse L. Martin, Tom Cavanaugh, Candace Patton, Daniel Panabaker, Carlos Valdez, Kenan Lonsdale, and the producers of the CW's highest rated series at the annual Comic-Con event or panel, and be among the first to find out where things will pick up when season 4 returns this fall.
Now, I was going to say something about the very end of that. They said Barry's in his own personal hell. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but since his mother came out and talked to him, it didn't seem like it was going to be anything bad.
It seemed like it was something more graceful. You got to remember when Savitar was in there, and he was replaced by Jay Garrick.
Right.
And then by Wally.
Right.
And all of them, it was a hell for them. It was supposed to be. It was a prison.
They didn't want it.
It looked like it wasn't, but you never know.
But they didn't want to. Barry went with it. Now, I understand that Jay also went with it, too, but where he was, it was already a bad thing.
But was this not maybe the Speed Force telling Barry, hey, come on in here, it's going to be nice, then you flip it when you get there?
Maybe, but remember with in the past comic book we read with Wally West with the Titans, remember when he was there, he was just with Linda, and he said it was the most peaceful thing he could have been.
Yeah.
He didn't want to leave. And if I remember right, in the Justice League Unlimited series, when Flash was getting sucked into the Speed Force, he said, it's so pretty in here, it's so good, it feels warm. It wasn't bad. I don't think the Speed Force is always going to be a prison.
Yeah.
It can be good for you, too.
Well, it's weird because, like, the Speed Force has slowly kind of the realm of the Speed Force now. Because originally it didn't have, like, this realm thing. It just was an energy
field, and you were stuck in there.
It's almost turned into, like, the Phantom Zone for Flash.
Yeah. But it seemed like it can vary.
Yeah,
like
that's,
the Phantom Zone.
The Phantom Zone over 3 years has changed what it is, how people are acting when they're in there,
okay.
when they get in,
I thought overall it was
Phantom
still
Zone
more of a prison.
It's always been a type of prison, but it's like the effects of the Phantom Zone and stuff change through depending on who's telling the story.
Because for me, I always saw the Phantom Zone as a prison. The Speed Force I saw as an afterlife for speedsters. So you can either go to hell or you can go to heaven. I think Barry's is more going to be more of like the heavenly side.
Well, we'll find out here in a couple months.
We only will. But next we have, I was going to say, the brother show, the Flash.
Well, we get from 5:50 to 6:30, which is another 40-minute panel, is Arrow special video presentation and Q&A. With the future of the team left hanging in the balance, Arrow gave new definition to the phrase, blowing up the show.
Nice.
The emotional showdown between Oliver Queen and Adrian Chase was the perfect conclusion to the stellar fifth season of the CW's gritty superhero series. Now the focus shifts to uncovering the fate of each and every member of Team Arrow. Could anyone have possibly survived an island-wide explosion? Or has the book closed on them? As it has on Oliver's five-year flashback story. Now, returning to San Diego Comic-Con for a sixth consecutive year, cast members Stephen Amell, David Ramsey, Willa Holland, Emily Bett Rickards, David Blackthorne, Katie Cassidy, Echo Kellum, Juliana Harkavy, Rick Gonzalez, and producers will be on hand for an eye-opening conversation about the upcoming season, and that is in Ballroom 20.
And I also said we did get a little bit of a spoiler if anybody was wondering who survived. Well, obviously, Black Canary survived from the picture we were talking about, and I put out online on our social media.
I think
week.
All of them survived. I don't think anybody was
too,
killed on that. Somehow they survived.
Yeah. This isn't related exactly to the San Diego Comic Con, but I looked up, didn't put two and two together until we were reading The Forge of Batman. Michael is Mr. Terrific, but in the show, he's Curtis.
Yeah.
Curtis
changed the,
cross my
yeah,
mind.
They changed the, I don't remember his last name is the same either.
Same last name.
Okay.
Same last name, but different first name. So I was thinking, is this a brother or a cousin or a father or a son?
I don't know.
Just different take on the character, but it's something that came to my mind.
This list was focusing on the TV panel, so it didn't actually, it didn't cover the other big event, remember, for Saturday night, I believe, is out of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having the premiere of Batman and Harley Quinn, which we covered last week, but I'll give you the details again tonight. Today. Let me bring them up right here because I had them. His Blu-rays. Oh, where are we at? Is this one? Yeah, premiere at Comic-Con. I know they're having an actual premiere for Batman and Harley Quinn. There we go. No. Ah, it jumped the wrong way.
I seen that their computer was getting a little iffy there.
Yeah. In Ballroom 20 on July 21st. Ballroom 20 on July 21st, they are doing a premiere. And full playing of Batman and Harley Quinn. So this is going to be the first place you can actually see it.
Hey, why not see it at your local San Diego Comic Con?
That's right.
If you're out there.
So, and that leaves one more. And it looks like Sunday, really, there's nothing else for DC Comics on there. So Arrow is the last DC TV panel. And like I said, we'll have to start scouring the other sites to see what other DC Comics panels are going to be there and what else DC is bringing to Comic Con.
I also, this is going to go into now our movie news, since I think that was the last bit for our TV news, wasn't it?
That's all for TV, yeah.
I want to start off with this, nothing big or major, guys, but people there and they have been breaking down the trailer, not the trailer, I'm sorry, but the opening sequence for DC Comic Books since the new Wonder Woman movie came out. Well, people have now put in all the characters, at least the ones that we couldn't get a full good vision of, or version of on there, so. They got a couple here, about 9 different heroes we just found out, Robin Tim Drake is in the opening.
Yeah.
We also have Poison Ivy. We have some of Gotham's villains. This is Riddler and The Question. The Question is not a villain, but
The Question's not a villain at all.
No, I don't know why I put that there on the article. Black Canary's in the opening. I think we found that one out already. Cheetah's in there. Maybe we could get the next one or movie.
It's possible.
Lobo was also cited.
Lobo, that's one that I know there's the huge rumors that Warner Brothers is looking at possibly doing an R-rated Lobo film.
Ever since the Deadpool movie came out with Fox and Marvel, I was like, this would be a perfect time for DC to jump on the bandwagon of R-rated.
That's, I think, the only DC character I
can
see as an R-rated movie.
Same here, so why
but
not
I think
put
they
Lobo
could do
there?
Just as well with a PG-13, a hard PG-13.
See, this is what I'm almost iffy about with Hollywood.
What we've seen of Lobo ever has been in the comic books, which have been teen.
Right.
They've actually never, he has never stepped over the line to gone to a more of a mature, I mean, he is a mature style character, but we've not seen him really that way, as far as I know.
For me, the only reason I would say go R, so you can have the, if there is any scene that you think would fit well, you can do it. It doesn't have to be something so brutal, but with PG-13 rating, you get so many boundaries on there that you can go so far with, but there you can just have, you feel better. You're open to do something. PG-13, you're always like, can I do this? Can I do that? Seems like movies struggle with that most of the time. The other one we found in here is Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
The Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle. Speaking of Blue Beetle, I've seen the Injustice comic books recently. They put the Ted Kord Blue Beetle in there.
Yeah. Oh, Ted Kord's been in there for the whole time.
Okay.
He's actually basically mentoring Jaime Reyes.
Okay.
And if I remember right, I've not been reading all of Blue Beetle, but
Injustice. In the video game, they're showing him in there. Okay. So I was just saying, I'm hoping maybe we can get him as a character.
Is it just a skin for Jaime Reyes?
Maybe. No, I mean, they're actually showing him in the comic books of Injustice usually if they're in the comic books, they might get on the video game. But I just thought it was nice we're getting to see Ted Kord more than just the Rebirth. Yeah. And he's in his Blue Beetle costume.
Okay.
We got some Flash villains. We got Grodd, Reverse Flash, Heatwave, and Captain Cold. I'm really hoping that they put Reverse Flash in the movie for the Flash, just to start off with. I know we've been getting on the show.
I don't know if I'd want to start there.
You don't
it's
think
like,
so?
It's like taking Man of Steel and putting Zod. Oh wait,
ha! I was gonna say, well, they did it for that. The only one I don't think we're gonna really get something big on. I don't think they're gonna put Joker in Batman. I just don't think they're gonna go that route yet.
I think they're gonna let it build.
But those were the
besides.
Characters
I don't
we
know
saw.
If I want the current Joker we have in the cinema universe in the Batman movie.
Yeah, well, we don't know what kind of Joker this is yet. Which Joker is this?
I don't know. So. But that's all the ones they have so far on there?
So far. And like I said, I'm pretty sure you can find other ones, but that was just the article I found. I did not pay no attention to Tim Drake Robin. That's what just stood out for me. That would be nice to get to see that Robin, the version of Robin in the new Batman movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jason Todd's already dead. So that means Nightwing has to be out there somewhere.
Well, a Robin is dead. We're assuming it's Jason Todd.
It better be Jason Todd. They better not kill Dick Grayson or Tim. I would have problems with that. We already seen
cool
Tim dead now, but he's not really even dead.
Well, that would be awesome if it is Jason Todd is already dead and we've seen the suit there, that maybe we can get a Nightwing then. Because Tim Drake would have, or Dick Grayson would have already been old enough that he became Nightwing.
Well, yeah, and from what they're saying, they want to make a Nightwing movie, so he has to be lurking in Bloodhaven or still in Gotham, as we know right now. Who knows? But Tim Drake would be nice to see actually on a TV screen, or a film.
Yeah.
A big screen.
Well, we have a couple of quick things with the cinematic. You actually mentioned Cheetah being in there in that opening montage that they put in front of DC Films now. But Patty Jenkins was actually speaking at
I'm pulling up to right now.
What's the name of it? She was at a convention speaking about empowering women, I believe.
Actually, it doesn't really say who exactly was talking
to her. It does say,
her.
Although there
I'm not saying it either. Oh, wait.
Maybe it's after this.
Advocate.
Huh?
It was the Advocates website.
Oh, she was talking to someone from a website?
Yeah, it looks like. At least those are the ones that posted.
Okay. But according to this article, she was thinking... Now, everybody has assumed so far that she's directing
Wonder
Woman 2.
Now, it was out there also...
And as far as I know, probably it's her movie to let go.
Yes. And
she's the one that gets first rights to it more than likely.
And that's what she was really trying to figure out, if she was coming back or not. People were thinking that Warner Bros. Did not offer her anything. It's like, no, they offered it to her. It's just her decision. Does she want to come back? Because in her mind, at first, this was all she wanted to do.
Well, we do know that she has already started working on the treatment of the film with Geoff Johns. She just didn't know if she was actually going to take the helm and direct it or not. But she was speaking at a Women in Film Q&A about an epiphany she had. And this is a quote from Patty Jenkins. She says, "I had an epiphany about Wonder Woman 2. I was like, you don't have to do this. It doesn't have to be a foregone conclusion that you do Wonder Woman 2. But then as I was falling asleep, I had an epiphany. I was like, wait a minute. You have the greatest character of all time that you love dearly, with a cast that you love sitting at the palm of your hand at this day and age. You can do whatever you want with them. Are you crazy? And then I suddenly realized it's not more of the same story. It's another movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's its own movie. It's got to be great. And then the news that should come to a relief to some of the fans that were wondering. But she also said another aspect of the film that was hinted at during the session was the time setting of the sequel. And for that, Jenkins said it's a continuation of the same character, but there's a great, entirely different story to be told with this character in our in the world. That's fun because now she exists, just funny, and also says something profound about the world we're in right now. Now, the little pause I put in there on purpose, mm-hmm. because it looks like, was it just a mental slip?
Right.
Or did she actually reveal that the next Wonder Woman movie would be in modern times? We don't know exactly.
Yeah, I had to reread now, that yesterday, because the way I'm like, this is getting a little weird, iffy, but yeah. What she's saying, a little confusing, but maybe she did it on purpose, or she just had a mental slip, or she doesn't want to give out the whole premise of the movie.
Well, the article here points out that she quickly corrected herself to state that Wonder Woman lives in our world rather than our current world.
Mm-hmm. Because, as she said, she thought it was a continuation, too. Now, mm-hmm. if we all remember correctly, remember once the movie ended, it was in modern time. And Wonder Woman's going off to save the day again.
Yeah.
Who knows? I think it will be in modern time, if that's the case, the way she described it and the way the movie ended. And if it looks like it was still connecting, but it wasn't, it was just another movie, we might be picking back up where we left off.
Exactly. But and actually, there's an update to this story that Patty Jenkins has now tweeted that her comments made at the Q&A do not confirm her status as director of Wonder Woman 2. So it sounds like someone was correcting her.
Yeah.
Because more than likely, Warner Brothers wants to make this announcement.
Wait,
they're like, hey, don't say anything yet.
We already had one slip-up from another company. We don't need any more out mm-hmm. there in the media to get all riled up here.
Well, Patty Jenkins tweeted on June 29th that, hey, all, thanks for the excitement, but that wasn't a confirmation. Just talking about ideas and hopes, but still excited and hopeful.
Smiley face, winky face.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Collider, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then there's one other movie news article in here. Do you want to cover this one, or do you want me to get it since I got it up?
Mine's not even up yet. Oh, this is on Matt Reeves.
Yeah, this is Matt Reeves has a little bit of stuff about Batman. Some of the stuff we already knew, but he's kind of confirming it, because Matt Reeves is out right now doing press for War of the Planet of the Apes, because he directed that.
I was going to say, can we actually just play the video clip?
I can play the video clip there. It's about a minute long, and it's basically... here, let me
make sure
that it's not going to pick up in the microphones.
But this is basically just the... Well, you know, we'll let him talk first, and we can discuss afterwards.
We'll play the video, and then let everybody hear what they think.
One last question. Not related to Planet of the Apes, but the Batman. Is there anything you can tell me
about? I'm just starting... So there's no, you know, we're just beginning. These movies are so intensive that I literally only finished this movie about 10 days ago. And now suddenly we're traveling and trying to, you know, let the world know about it. But I will say that one of the reasons I was drawn to it is I had a similar fascination to Batman when I was young that I had with the Ape series, which I was obsessed with. And I see a parallel emotionally between Caesar and Batman in that they're both characters who are tortured and trying to sort of grapple with their within themselves to find the way to do the right thing in a very imperfect and to some degree corrupt world.
No guns, no killing.
Said no guns.
And so it's really that emotionality that I'm interested in. I want to do a very point of view driven, you know, this film and all the films, what I try to do in an almost Hitchcockian sense, is use the camera and use the storytelling so that you become the character and you empathize with that point of view. And I think there's a chance to do an almost noir-driven detective version of Batman that is point of view-driven in a very, very powerful way that hopefully is going to connect you to what's going on inside of his head and inside of his heart.
I will finish it.
So that was an excerpt from the interview that they had of Matt Reeves basically talking about Planet of the Apes, and the movie clips you heard at the end were from the War of the Planet of the Apes. But I had actually never realized some of the parallels with Caesar, what that yeah. he pulls between Caesar and Batman.
Yeah, once they saw that little clip with him just wanting justice, and when Caesar even said no guns, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Man, he is close to Batman, what I thought.
Well, also, the cool thing that I'm seeing here is when he's saying a Noir bat or detective
mm-hmm.
film,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, is like, in the Nolan series, really, we didn't get a lot of detective Batman.
No, the closest thing we got for him being a detective was when he was getting the shell casing for old bullets in The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Well, but if you go back to the original 1989 Batman,
mm-hmm.
he actually was doing detective work, because remember, he's the one discovered the Pink. Cure to the Smilex gas.
Yeah, no, I was also going to say, Batman Returns, he did the same thing, too, with Penguin.
Yeah,
and
so but since then it's been more superhero, less detective.
Yeah, well, the thing was, I feel like they had to do that back then, being detective, even just doing research, because mm-hmm. there wasn't the thing called the internet, at least not big like it was. Was it? No, it wasn't. Not 89.
There was no internet,
so there was no internet at all back then to even help him. But he had to do detective work. He had to do his research. But
exactly.
Now in the world we live in, Batman's really going to have to get down and gritty. And as I said, in Dark Knight, that was the closest we got to seeing him really doing detective work since then.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to see it. And a noir-style Batman just goes perfect. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Is there any comic
I like noir films anyway. There's some of... there's some great... I personally like noir sci-fi myself.
Okay.
You ever see Dark City?
I've heard of it. I have not seen
Dark City is amazing. There's another one that came out, I think, last year called Synchronicity. That was actually it was like a noir time travel thing.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Yeah. I like noir-style movies just... To be honest, like the old black and white ones always get me.
Oh, yeah.
But seeing Batman do this, what?
Some Humphrey Bogart?
Yeah. is there any, I don't know how many Batman books you have read, but aren't most of his books heavily focused on detective work?
Yeah, so a lot of them sometimes have been.
It
all depends on who's writing them.
That, too. I know the noir style came more so from Commissioner Gordon, but Batman Year One was heavily like that, mm-hmm. and so was Hush. Him trying to figure out who the heck is Hush. So,
yeah.
That'd be nice to have him as a villain, too.
But that's what Matt Reeves had to say about it. We actually only have one more news story. This one's actually kind of exciting, because one of these characters I'm really excited to see coming back to the DC Universe.
And I think you're happy to see the rest of the characters that's going to be along
yeah.
with him for
well,
the ride.
Well, one of the ones that's coming with him for the ride is the one I'm excited
okay.
about. But go ahead with this. It's kind of a short story, but and it's
yeah.
a continuation of one we had a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Remember, guys, we were saying Mr. Miracle will be coming out in August for a 12-issue run. Well, Mr. Miracle artist says that this will be like a New Gods rebirth. So we didn't get any New Gods or Mr. Miracle, none of those when the rebirth started last year. But now we will get a tale mm-hmm. of that. Tom King and Mitch Gargs will be once again teaming up for August for a 12-issue run of Mr. Miracle, the escape artist superhero created by Jack Kirby as a part of the Fourth World New Gods books, also created the likes of Darkseid, Orion, and Highfather. These guys are really powerful.
I think Darkseid was basically changed the face of the DC Universe when they brought in Darkseid.
Yeah, and anytime you have somebody that's more powerful than Superman,
yeah.
it's going to change the landscape.
There's a reason they call these guys New Gods.
Mm-hmm.
They have basically, in the DC Universe, godlike power.
Power, yeah, and they're running the world of Apocalypse and I can't think of that. What was the nice planet?
It was New Something.
I don't remember that. As you're looking that up.
Yeah.
But in an online interview, producer Ryan Higgins and Gargs replied with a tweet of a fan who was commenting on how DC should make rebirth books based on the New Gods, to which Gargs replied, that's basically what Mr. Miracle is. Everyone is in it. The New Gods will all be throughout the book. Hoping the New Gods rebirth book, and this is from the fan, and he tweeted everybody that's working on the book, and then Mitch responded, that's basically Mr. Miracle is, everyone is in it, smiley face. So if you're like me...
New Genesis,
there we go. You say it was New Something, we couldn't think of it.
Yeah.
If you're like me, then absolutely love the New Gods and pretty much everything about the world that Jack Kirby created. This news sounds like the best thing you can hear regarding to the series. What Mitch says is true, and it would generate even greater excitement among fans. Nothing would make me happier to see pretty much every character included in this series, but we want to know which ones are you most excited for. And you guys can tell us, too. Which ones are you excited
exactly.
for?
Now, this is one that's only a 12-issue run, but that doesn't mean that this can't continue past that.
Right, right. Now,
depending on if this is popular enough, they'll keep it going, or it'll branch off into something else.
That's what I'm really thinking.
Because a lot of the New Gods characters have traditionally been Justice League members.
Yeah.
Orion was a Justice League member off and on for years, and so is Mr. Miracle and Barda.
Big Barda, yeah. Big Barda and Mr. Miracle are my two favorite ones right now. Now, Orion was... I like him just as a character and his connection to Darkseid and what he was able to do to Darkseid.
Everybody's going to disagree with me, but the character of Orion always reminded me, especially since I've seen some of the newer movies and stuff, of basically DC's version of Thor. He's just a straight warrior with godlike power type deal.
Character-wise,
I'm not nowhere near powers, obviously. They're probably different, but the character... They're both, like, son of a god type deal.
Yeah, I was trying to remember some of the older Thor comic books. Was a new spin on Thor right now.
Not read a whole lot of Thor.
Okay. I still think Thor has more of a friendlier take on him than Orion. Orion's more serious tone. But far as the power or his origin and all that, that is similar. So you're looking forward to Orion coming back.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see.
Okay.
Well, no, the big one I'm looking forward to is Darkseid coming back.
Ah. Ooh. Well...
My first introduction to Darkseid was actually in
Super
Friends.
I'm a little afraid for him to come back.
Darkseid from the Super Friends.
Galactic Guardians.
I think it was a Super Friends Super Powers show or something. Darkseid was the villain.
Okay. I think, is that the one with Cyborg in it and Firestorm?
I believe that, they were in that one too.
Okay.
The Legendary Super Powers show is one of them, and then the other one was the Galactic Guardians was another one that was
I love
from
the voice
that.
Actor for Darkseid. That guy had that intimidating voice. But for me, the one I'm really excited to see is this Big Barda and Mr. Miracle be back together on a page.
Oh, yeah. So, but if that's all you have for that, it's time to actually get into some comic reviews.
Yep.
And we had three books we chose from this week. One is...
Of course, I didn't bring my books up.
The first one, well, you had it on the computer there, don't you?
I do.
So, we have... we're starting with Superman number 25. Now, which one of these did you want to... Or are we just going to kind of go back and forth on them no matter what?
We can just go back and forth on them. There was so much. This is the 25 issue, so this is an extra-sized anniversary issue.
Yeah, these are a little bit large issues. They're all about 10 pages extra. My computer is telling me things.
Oh.
But that's okay.
It's talking to you. But right now we have the team, when you first open the book, you get to see John's eyes just running down with that black goo.
Yeah, remember, for the last couple issues of Superman, we've had Manchester Black is back. And
yes.
He's controlling
awesome
John
villain.
He's controlling Jonathan Kent, and you're getting Superboy Black.
Yep.
Manchester Black and Super Elite are fighting basically Superman, Batman, and Robin.
Along with Frankenstein.
The Frankensteins, yeah. Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. I forgot almost.
And they're back together for right now.
For the moment. Well, kind of. When you're reading through the book, you can see the banner back and forth. She's like, well, we're not quite together.
Yeah.
She's not sold on this idea yet.
Yet. But you get Superboy punching the crap out of Superman.
Yeah.
I know they're following some, but it's always nice to see Superboy can at least throw Superman's head back.
With Manchester Black, this is kind of an idea that they put together in Smallville. That the only thing holding back Clark Kent in Smallville was himself.
Right.
Him holding on to the humanity of him,
side of him
was slowing him down from being able to actually
go raw out power of his
to open up his
power with the yellow
sun. Manchester Black has control of Superboy, and all of a sudden he has all of his superpowers he can have. He can fly. He can. He's got the heat vision. He's got the strength. He's got the speed.
He's basically
all powers
Superman
he can
as
yeah.
a kid. If you
exactly.
want to say. And right here you have their grand. I forget her name, but the neighbor, her grandfather.
Kathy,
thank you. Her grandfather's still down and now on the ground. She's making sure he's okay, but we get Robin trying to help. And it looks like did he elbow her?
Which panel are you on?
I didn't notice that before. I was trying to skim through this, but Robin elbows her. I guess she wasn't listening to what he wanted to do. Anyways,
yeah.
Robin being Robin, but Batman, Robin, they're all trying to take care of what's going on, but then...
Well, when Robin elbows her, and Superboy comes through and smashes him.
Yeah.
And says, don't touch her.
Now, see, that's still showing that he has a connection to
her. He has some connections to something.
Also, we get to see Batman dodging Superboy. Have no idea how Batman's able to do all this stuff, but Batman's Batman. This is where we get Superman and Superboy going back and forth at it. And he says he will not fight his son. His mother and him love him. And he says, you failed, mother.
Yeah,
you
remember,
her.
Part of what Manchester Black did to keep control of Superboy was showed where Superman had actually taken, when Lois got hurt, Superman took her to the hospital and took off, left her there.
Yeah. So all he thinks now is you failed her, you're not protecting her, you hurt her. And this is when Superman tells Superboy, "She's okay, John, just listen." And then he just yells out, "Liar." Now we get to see what the other characters in the book
are
doing.
Yeah, then we switch over to the Frankensteins, which this is where I was
and
talking
Crypto.
About. Yeah. Oh, I didn't see Crypto in there. Yeah, he is in there. Uh-huh. Cool.
Crypto's always got to be there for him.
That's right.
But they're going at it, and this is where you're saying these, they're going back and forth with it. It's just said, like, old times, son, that says, "You lay them low, and then together again, we feel like..."
Yeah, this is Frankenstein's line here. It says, yeah, go ahead, together again.
"We're together again, and I feel rejuvenated."
Reinvigorated,
or
yeah.
Reinvigorated. Don't you, my bride, she says, eh. X,
no, she
X.
Says X. He says, still... "My bride," she says X.
And he's like, eh. So, not yet. They're not fully back together yet.
Mm-hmm.
But Manchester Black's still trying to get put down, and she's shooting at him, but nothing's happening right now. And then he comes up behind her, and I love this line. He says, "Clever girl."
Yeah.
My
yeah,
son from
she's
Jurassic
distracting
Park.
Him, and Frankenstein comes up behind. The problem is, Frankenstein comes back behind to take out Manchester Black. And as he's about to swing the sword down on Manchester Black,
Superboy gets the best of him.
With his heat vision, cuts off Frankenstein's arm.
Yep, and he basically just puts him into pieces.
And then also, the Bride of Frankenstein turns to start shooting at Superboy,
and
he uses
turns
his
ice.
Freeze breath to turn her into a block of ice.
So the Frankensteins are down right now.
Yeah.
And I love also how Manchester Black, all the King's Horsemen, all the King's Men line, since Frankenstein is dismantled at this point.
Yeah, they're
point.
Slowly but surely taking all the pieces of Frankenstein and taking them apart.
Just give him a second, he'll,
which
he'll put
it back
together. Which
is great, being Frankenstein, that can't kill him.
No, when I was like,
dang, he's essentially immortal, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, all you gotta do is get some staples and some a sewing kit and
pretty
stitch
much.
Him back up, he'll be fine. Because
later on they hold him by the head and his head starts talking and it's just the head.
Yeah. Now we get back to not Superboy, Robin, Superman, and Batman. Saying how, well, Batman, you're right, was a Superman telling him, "All your fears have came true. We have unstoppable Kryptonian Superboy
yep.
here. But it's my duty to get him back in the right mind state and put him back to being my real son."
Well, yeah, well, Batman is the one that brings it up and mentions that, wait, if you look at his body language, it changed when Superman was talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
So something in there still recognizes the voice of his father.
Yeah. Now we just got to figure out how he can touch into that.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Superboy Black is what Manchester's calling him. Fly away." And now it's Superboy and Superman into the sky. And as they're going through it, they're going back and forth, using heat vision, throwing punches. But Superman's not hitting him back at all. All he's doing is just taking it from his son. And Manchester mm-hmm. Black thinks this is awesome. He's got this most devious, scary smile on him right now. And then this is when Superman says, "The people, I can't save all the people that are down on Earth." And Jonathan tells him, "No, you can't. I am. I'm strong enough. This is my job now." He goes and tries to save them, and he says, "I am strong," just yelling this. And he says, "You're a liar." He says that, "You are, my lad, you are strong." This is
yeah,
what
Manchester Black
Black's
is still talking
him.
To him when he says, "I am strong." Manchester Black says, "Yes, you are." Then he turns to Manchester and says, "Just shut up, Black.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need you in my head anymore."
And this is where Superman comes.
And Superman comes in with, "You are strong, son. I can see that now. And that means that you're strong enough to take this."
"I'm sorry."
And he smashes Superboy and hits him full on.
Yeah. And then this is where they crashed into the power source.
Yeah, they landed into, well, remember the ship that Manchester Black and the Elite that are running this town, they've been running the town from behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they smash into the ship that's been buried, the ship that they arrived on.
And
there's a quantum vessel, or quantum reactor that runs it.
And this looks like where the power is now surging through Superman. He's beginning to see the different universes along with Superboy. And this is where Superboy says, "I can see the worlds beyond the days. Nights behold the worlds. Truth lies, justice, injustice, hope, and despair. So much burning light. There is no room for Black. The darkness screams for your blood, Black. And then this is where Manchester Black says, "Mind your tongue, kid. You aren't beyond me."
And here's where basically Superboy is fighting the mental control of Black.
And he just starts laying into him.
Yeah.
Jonathan starts to pummel Manchester Black. And then this is where you hear... He deserves all of this, by the way.
Yeah.
I was like, just beat him up for a little bit.
The great thing is, the Superman saying, please listen to me. Stop. He's done. Stop. That's enough. Then out of nowhere, you see in bold text on the last panel of the page, Jonathan Samuel Kent.
And once I seen that,
once
I just knew.
Once you get your middle name, you know you're in trouble. I don't care who you are.
And having a mother, you yeah. knew who was the one yelling out his middle name.
Yeah, you know it. When the middle name comes in, I don't care who you are. You could be Superman.
Yep.
That middle name comes in, and it's Martha, even if it's Martha Kent,
yeah,
you're cowering.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I went too far.
I just thought this was hilarious. Like, oh, mama said your name. You need to stop now.
That's right.
She says, you don't have to listen to him anymore, baby. Just listen to me. And this was Lois talking to Jonathan. Mm-hmm. He started to stop. And this really what broke the control altogether was his mother.
Because he realized all of a sudden, wait, mom's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He thought his mom was getting beat down and was dead, or was virtually dead. So this totally breaks Black's control.
And this is where Black tries to get to him and says, you little... And he tries to take back over Superboy. And Superman comes in and says, not again, Black. And he says, where is this? Who says my power is... Oh, he says there's no connection, so this isn't going to work both ways. It doesn't work both ways, does it? And, well, he gets ready to shoot Kathy, Ancestor Black does.
Well, Kathy had figured out that her powers
are connected.
Couldn't get through to Black to actually do anything with him. He was actually still connected to John, so he's feeding off of John. That's mm-hmm. why Black has all this power. But she tells him, John, give me your hand. And when they do, together, they're able to blast Manchester Black and pull the power out of him. And Manchester Black explodes.
Yeah.
And you look in the bottom. Look here.
I missed that the first time. It does come. I missed that.
As the power is leaving, and it's all this purple power. One of them happens to go through a cow that happens to say "moo."
Yep. And now this is where they go back to Manchester Black, and his brain's basically fried. Mm-hmm. There's no one there. Batman goes to inspect him and says, "Manchester Black is stunned right now. Lights are on, but nobody's home."
Exactly.
And Robin picks up. Robin picks up Frankenstein's head, and they're both saying how he's looking for his bride. He says she'll thaw as in a little bit. You're looking for a new science project.
Yeah, Superboy
right
or Robin says she'll thaw. As for you, I've been looking for a new science project. So guess what his science project is? He gets to put together Frankenstein. But then the rest of the elite comes back down. Now that Manchester Black is not in charge, and is asking for forgiveness. And Kathy looks at him and talks about how you're my family, and basically takes control and says, and now she's leading the elite. 10-year-old Kathy. But and then we get back to Superboy and the mayor of Hamilton County, or the town there, is actually one of the elite. All the people that were running the town are part of the elite. But then we get to Superman back with them, and he's talking about how the town isn't the only one that needs to be rebuilt. There's also the matter of trust, which is really, really low right now. And Superboy looks at him and questions his dad. He says, but I suppose I have to start somewhere, don't we? And so they basically said, okay, you guys have to have a place to be. I believe you that you didn't have control. Then Superman, I got to go. I have a lot of work to do. And they have the same thing. They have to rebuild town now. So then we get to a couple months from then, and you get Superman flying over the fair again, where this all started.
Mm-hmm. And everything seems to be back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Everything is going great, back to normal. You see the fair. The mayor is talking to the talking about how they've had a lot of help from local donors and stuff to get the fair back up and running, get everything smooth.
Back on its feet.
You get back. Then we're back out in the field with Clark and Lois and Jonathan and Kathy looking at the tree that was burned up. And they see that the tree wasn't that Black had with his telepathy was affecting what John was seeing so much that the tree was not as destroyed as he thought it was. And remember, this is a tree where he and Kathy were always hang out in this tree. It's where the cat was killed in the very beginning when his heat vision went nuts.
Yep.
When he fell out of the tree and was she had first touched his hand, Kathy had touched his hand and he crushed the branch and he fell out of the tree.
This is where a lot of the rebirth started with Superboy.
So, and Kathy, Lois is looking at like, we're sorry about your grandfather, but she's not sure they like the idea of her living out here on her own, out in the farm, because she doesn't have her grandfather now. It's just her.
But I think she can manage.
Yeah. And Kathy says, I appreciate your concern, ma'am, but the ship, the farm, they need me. And even though Grandpa's gone, I won't be alone. And as she touches the tree, it starts to grow again and becomes a healthy tree. See, Swamp Thing would get along with this girl.
I know, right? The whole time this was happening, I was like, is Swamp Thing actually there right now? Mm-hmm.
Now they're just talking about dinner, and the two of them are sitting there, and then you get Kathy and John hanging out in the tree while, Clark went back to make dinner. They're talking about making dinner plans, basically. And they're just talking back and forth and remembering what happened in the tree and what happened with Manchester Black. Because remember, at this point, Jonathan can't fly yet.
No.
But as they're sitting there talking,
without the
all
help
of a sudden,
Manchester,
they just start flying, or they start floating up into the air.
As then, they're looking into each other's eyes like two little crushes, holding each other's hand, and you hear a phew.
Yep. And then Superman, or Lois and Clark are sitting there like, well, I guess they figured it out.
Yep. Like, that sounded like a plane or a bird went off. Wait, I'm sorry. Let me read this in order. Sounded like a huge bird or plane or maybe. I love that.
Yeah.
We've got our Superboy back.
Exactly. You get this panel is beautiful. Bunch of birds flying around. You get Jonathan and holding Kathy's hand and Crypto flying with them also.
Yep. That's just cute, right?
Then you get back to just John or Lois and Clark talking about, well, let him have this time because we still have to pack. Because remember, they're getting ready to move to Smallville. Then and you get the epilogue.
Yep.
And you have this dairy farm. And these guys, these kids.
These little the brat kids.
Punks
of, yeah.
Sitting behind the thing, getting ready to share the smokes. Yeah. And they're talking about that British guy, and they're talking, and they turn around, and you look, they all have the pink eyes, like Manchester Black's controlling them. Then you turn around and you see a cow with purple eyes and
a cigarette
hanging out of his mouth.
Like, give me a light.
And they say, Black is back, and then they. So it looks like Manchester Black actually is in control of this cow for some reason now.
Yeah.
Because he got smashed when Manchester exploded, so the energy exploded out of him.
So his brain right now, I think, is actually inside the cow. Manchester Black is the cow right now.
The brain, Manchester, the body is being held at the fortress now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally empty of anything neurologically. There's no brain left.
Yep.
But it looks like the consciousness did go somewhere.
To the freaking cow.
And the kids look as like... they look and say, you know what? This is so dumb. It may be Black, but you know what? Let's tip it.
Yeah.
And they end up flipping the cow, and that's the end. So Manchester is stuck in this cow.
To be tipped forever by these brat kids.
That's right. And that is Superman number 25. Moving on now, we actually have Batman number 25. Now, all three books we chose were 25 episode anniversaries.
Mm-hmm. And we will have more next week. Now, the next one we have here is Batman. We get a return from somebody we've been waiting to see. Even though this is a prequel. Well, is it, how far ago is it? It doesn't say yet, does it?
No. Well. So this is a prequel of a story, or this is how the story begins before we pick up on it for the next issue.
And this is the story of the War of Jokes and Riddles, Part 1.
Yes.
War and Jokes, you guys can try to figure out which villains we're going to be
dealing with. Well, the nice thing was, with Joker in here, you don't see Joker until you're three-quarters of the way through the book.
Yeah.
Even though he's in all these panels and stuff, but you see him in shadow, you see him from behind and all these other ways.
As the first panel is, there's this comedian, and he's on stage trying to deliver a joke, and someone walks up to him and says, enough. And then he says, all right, no, I have one more for you. It's about Scotland. I swear this kills every time. I just got back from the strip from Scotland, and boom, bang.
And he's dead.
Yep, and the voice says, next, please. And
but we also have a running commentary in the corner of this, someone talking to us, talking about it was over where they had gone. The recorders watch recordings. He's witnessing something. He's trying to, and he's telling a little bit of a background story here, looking for someone. But he says, next, please, with the comedian. Next guy walks on and says, hey, I'm Chris Vedder from Queens. And he's like, well, don't forget to clear the stage first.
Yep, so every comedian seems to get on stage, has to drag the other dead body off.
And you see a pile of dead bodies in front of the stage.
You know, and you're going to be the next one to go to. I don't know if he's kidnapped these guys. They volunteered by accident.
Well, it's in the last panel here of this, you see, it says, all right, go ahead, Mr. Vedder. I'm ready to laugh. So if you don't make whoever this is laugh,
you're dead.
You're done.
And now we go, looks like GCPD.
Yes.
You hear someone laughing.
They're questioning someone.
And whoever they're questioning has red hair, just putting it out there. They says, excuse me, but I'm not seeing the joke here. And the guy in red hair says, no, I'm sorry.
Well, it already said Nigma in the first panel there. It says, you got 14 dead in Gotham here, Nigma. So they're questioning the Joker, or the Riddler.
Oh, Riddler, yeah. And he says, the deal that you've got to help... the deal you got is to give us help. If you don't help, you're not going to be getting out anytime soon. And the guard says, only beat the fighters out of you, hiding the joke. Excuse me. He says, no, wait, please, I'll help you before he leaves out. And he says, to solve this in a better way, just to clarify one thing, it'll be easy to solve. And then the guy says, sure, Enigma, what do you need? Well, if I could just, I mean, you just want to tell me the end of the world never comes. He's like, excuse me? What are you talking about? Then Riddler hops from the back, slices the guy's throat, and
yeah, he just
leaves him for dead, really.
Jacks this dude.
And now he's leaving out while all this is on camera. So either the cameraman's dead or getting paid not to do anything.
Mm-hmm. And whoever's narrating this is actually telling the story of what's happening in the room. Like, he saw all this happen.
Mm-hmm. He's been here before.
Yes.
Now we're at the Joke Factory, And this is Gordon and his team of cracked up SWAT and Gotham GCPD. I'm just going to say jacked up here because the building blows up. No one knows what's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the fire, there's somebody walks up behind one of the SWAT members, shoots them in the head, and then starts to proceed to make jokes with their mouth. He's voicing it as the man's a dead puppet. A man walks into a bullet. Ouch. Isn't that funny? It should be funny. No. It's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing I was still trying to kind of confuse on. I understand a building just blew up, but it's not blowing up anymore. All you see is fire.
Yeah.
You guys couldn't hear a gun go off and multiple guns go off because...
Yeah, well, there's another one because there's a woman that walks up to him.
Yep.
And he looks... he's still telling the story, and he shoots her. And it says, a woman walks into a bullet. No. So the punchline isn't working still.
Yeah. None of the cops heard this. They just know now they have two dead bodies behind them once they figure out the burning building's not the main issue right now.
Yeah. The next part's interesting because you go back to Riddler, and he's got his green hat, trying to walk out of jail. And he walks up, and there's a bunch of guards all in
with
front of him.
Ten of them or so.
It says, on the ground, Nygma, hands spread. You have 3 seconds, then we drop you. One, or three, two, then all he says is, Joanna Elizabeth Sanchez. Says what?
Someone says what?
Then he starts reading off the names of all these girls. And they're like, dude, that's my daughter. And all the and what it is he's found the... Or, he worked a deal with another guard that he helped the guard figure out where... What was it? Something for betting on football games. How to bet on football games and actually make a lot of money.
But to do that, he had to make a deal.
He made a deal with Riddler. And obviously, he wasn't giving him anything that would... help him escape. All the Riddler wanted was some information.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to know, do any of the guards have family?
Daughters,
do they have daughters? And so he got the names of the daughters, and now as he's doing it, the guards are scared, and they're basically let him walk right through once because the guy knows the names of his daughters.
And he says, ahem. And they know to let him go, open up the gate, don't try to stop him. Then this is where the voice says, what they did on their off time is the thing that matters the most to them. Where they live, where they're married, who they're married to. Do you have kids too?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we go to somebody driving around the Joker, and there's a man, and this is what the Joker says. A man goes to a toy store and says he would like to buy a new boomerang, and also he would like to know how to throw his old one away.
And the guy starts laughing. And the guy tells him, okay, man, that's pretty funny. And then you hear a bang in the front windshield is blood and smash. He says, no, it's not. As the car goes crashing and careening off the road. The Joker or someone climbing out with green hair. You still haven't seen the face of the Joker at all. I don't think. Did they show it in the background of that
not yet.
Last scene?
There is a
kinda, but not the full thing.
There is a man with a white face and green hair at this point. Yeah. You can see in the distance. And there's somebody that got hit by the car as it was crashing. He says, help me, please. And he looks up, and it's a guy wearing a green suit. So we can all kind of figure out who that is staying over him.
So there's someone else that's got out with Joker, or right behind Joker. And there's a tall building. They walk in, and this guy in the green suit walks up to the elevator, and he's talking to people as they go, but man observes others being let in, talking to the doorman. And he's basically telling a riddle. And that's actually a cool riddle. But then you get a splash page of the Riddler walking into this giant, like, penthouse loft saying, knock, knock. You see the bat symbol in the sky in the background. Then the next page is another splash reveal that you see the Joker sitting behind a desk says, who's there?
And he says, an answer. But before we get into that, would you like to know how I knew the question? How to solve the puzzle? The puzzle, and this is all Riddler saying
this
right now.
Yeah, this is Riddler talking to Joker.
The puzzle you left for him, the pattern on the map, the nose on the clown face you were building, then the joke for the location, why did 6 fear 7? Because 7, 8, 9, that has to be one of the most oldest and corniest riddles, jokes, whatever you want to call it, I've ever heard, and this is how I found it, I thought it was really funny. But it said didn't, but it didn't. Just see that I saw everything. I know you can't laugh.
Then you see Joker's face this whole time. He's got a frown.
Yeah. I mean, his smile has turned upside down.
He has lost his smile.
Oh, yeah. Sound like Shawn Michaels. In the first pattern, the way you were attacking Gotham, stand-up jokes, shop comedy, movie shows, looking for humor while drawing him out to you. This isn't him, isn't it? He says, punchlines need to be unpredictable. That's why they're funny. But with him, everything is predictable. You always lose. You need to laugh or else who are you? And I can't laugh as long as he's out there. To laugh again, you need to kill him. What do you do? How do you...
What you don't know is...
I feel the same way. Riddles, they're all I have now. After him, they're all pathetic to me. I can solve everything, anything, but I can't solve him. And if puzzles... A puzzle that can't be solved, I need to solve the puzzle or no one else. Or who am I? So without Joker having his jokes to tell and having a punchline to laugh at, he's not Joker. Without Riddler having these riddles and puzzles to actually figure out, he's not Riddler.
Yeah.
So basically all he's telling him is we both need to stop him.
Well, the problem is, Riddler has to kill the Joker
has to kill Batman, yeah.
The Joker has to kill Batman. The problem is, if one kills Batman, then the other one can't.
Right.
And if Riddler kills Batman, then the Joker isn't able to.
Joke.
Both of them have to kill the Batman.
And in my head, now see, this is what if I was Riddler, I would say this. I understand you don't care for a secret identity. You want him dead. Mm-hmm. Me, I want secret identity being puzzles. I think this would have been a better way to talk to Joker. As Riddler's talking to him, it seems like he has the upper hand against Joker. Any other criminal in Gotham knows you cannot have the upper hand against Joker. Working with him at any way given, he's going to screw you over at some point because he thinks it's all laugh and giggles. So as he's telling him this plan, he says, I was trapped in that prison, willing to be trapped there forever. Then I saw you and your plan, and I had to talk to you. I had to stop you. And then this is where Joker tells Riddler, or maybe this will work as much. And then this is where he says, no, wait. He pulls out a gun, puts it to Riddler's stomach, pulls the trigger, and all you hear is another bang. And he says, nope, that didn't work either. That's not funny. And now with you, well, if he comes now, would you play? I don't know. And as the Riddler's laying on the floor with blood just spilling from his cuts, Batman comes in, and this is where Riddler tells him, he took it. He took my bomb. The Joker ran. He left with my bomb. So Batman starts to run away and try to find Joker. As Riddler gets out of his own pool of blood, he starts to climb up. And he says, the smartest man alive will always be overlooking one thing, his nose.
Now, that's why you were asking about the bomb. I don't think there actually was a bomb.
It was a bomb, yeah.
No, there was no bomb. What it is that was Riddler's. He did that so that the Batman would chase after the Joker. Mm-hmm. He didn't get away. And then you find out for the next couple months, there was a huge war going on in Gotham of Batman or Joker versus Riddler. And it's been a bloody, devastating war throughout the town.
And we get a great splash page of all his villains. We get Poison Ivy, we get Mr. Freeze, we get Mad Hatter, we get the Ventriloquist and Scarface, Scarecrow, Two-Face, Deadshot. I can't really make out who that guy in the red is. That's not Red Hood, is it?
It's Deadshot and...
Like, who is that?
That's Deathstroke. It's more reds than oranges.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah, but Deathstroke. Firefly, Penguin, Solomon Grundy, Killer Croc, Man-Bat, not Swamp Thing, I'm sorry, Clayface. And then you get Joker and Riddler just staring each other dead on the eye with blood coming from their nose and their mouth. And then this is where we get to see Bruce Wayne laying in bed with Selina, and he's talking to her saying, people think they understand me. Alfred, Gordon, the boys, all of Gotham in its way. Even you, a man in pain, trying to save who he can, but they think they don't understand anything. They don't know a damn thing about me because they don't care. They don't know. Cat, I have no idea. You have no idea, but you have.
You have to.
Before any of this, you have to know. And then it says, DC Comics presents. This is when Batman goes back to saying, what I did. What I had to do during the War of Jokes and Riddles. And this is the part one to the whole War of Jokes and Riddles. And the next issue will be Choose a Side.
Exactly.
But as we know right now,
what
the
this
voice...
looks like, because we never got an answer when he asked her to marry him last issue.
Yeah.
This looks like she said yes, because they're together.
There. Yeah. Yay for Batman. But as going on right now, he's telling her a story of what happened in the War of Jokes and Riddles. And we're going to get to see... what's going to happen. This is the guy that was narrating the whole thing was Batman talking to Selina. So we're really just going to get a backstory of what how Ray happened. So whatever big events are taking place are Ray done.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to find out what happened. And that's it for Batman 25. Next, we hit on our other 25th issue.
is Green Lantern's number 25.
There's some good stuff happens.
Yeah,
in
this
here
is
too.
This is we've got a lot of culmination of what they've been doing since the beginning.
Yeah,
it's taken them 25 issues to get to here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting off with it says 3 days ago, and it has Simon actually writing a letter to Nazir, which is his best friend. It's his sister's husband.
Yeah, his brother-in-law.
They used to be best friends, and for a long time, well, Simon still considers them a best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But since he's got the ring, Nazir has basically been put on the back burner. But they're talking. He's talking about knowing that he's been distant. That Nazir is all ticked off at him about, because they used to be a lot closer friends. Then we get to back to now. And you got Simon, Raimi, and Jessica, remember, are going to the Vault of Shadows, which is where the Guardians keep their secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And then they look into this place. The first thing they walk into, there's a monument with seven tubes and seven lanterns. And it's the monument to the original seven rings. You go back for... Raimi says they all died fighting. At that time, some dude comes attacking them with a... looks like a projection of a sword. And it's a lion or a tiger-looking humanoid. And Raimi stops him. You find out that this is basically the guardian of the Shadow Vault. Then we kick back to 10 billion years ago, the planet Tamaran. Now, Vernon and I were trying to figure this out. I think this is actually where Starfire's from now.
Yeah.
No, but this is taking place 10 billion years ago.
Yeah, and they look a little bit more primal.
A lot more primal, a lot more cat-like almost. But they are orange-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about how Tranor, the Mighty... was one of the warriors, and he's fallen for the king or whatever, and this wizard king guy has taken over, and Thranor was not happy about it, so they're about to fight, and the king tries to take the legendary sword that Thranor was using to kill him with it, and it just crumbles. At that point, Thranor breaks free and starts killing everybody and going nuts on everything. Then once they're all gone, he sits there cuddling the hilt and says, "My sword. I am sorry, my comrade." And then you get a ring slides in. It says Tiranor of Tamaran. You have the ability to overcome great fear. There is a great crisis in the universe. You are needed. Which is different than what the rings say now.
Yeah, I was going to say, this was a little bit different take on the ring. I understand, like, even we go into this a little bit further. It seems like whatever you did to overcome fear at that point mm-hmm. is when the ring came to you. I mean, it kind of does the same thing now, but some of these things weren't as important to me as I thought they should be for the ring to go out to just this person.
Yeah. So, but then we get back to today, and you find Raimi is now walking through the vault, heading for somewhere.
If she isn't really Raimi.
No, well, obviously, it's Volthoom. Mm-hmm. We know this. But he's sitting there. He's going through, heading to this deeper part of the inner... It's the inner crypt. Jessica and Simon aren't with him. Obviously, they're still back out in the entryway because he's off doing what he needs to do to fix the lanterns. Mm-hmm. Remember, he's supposed to be fixing the rings.
Right.
Well, he says something in some other language that we don't know what it is, and maybe it's ancient guardian or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the vault opens up, and he says it's still here. The first ring. His ring. This was the Phantom Lantern's ring. The one that was all colors. And it was a whole spectrum. It wasn't white like the White Lantern is now.
Right.
This was actually had a little bit of all the colors in it. And then, you kick back to, Simon and Jessica talking about what they missed basically from home, and what they're going to do when they get home. Cause they've been gone for a while. Remember they were,
yep.
They were brought out to do their training and then they got put on this mission immediately. They're missing home. But as they're talking back and forth, you hear lanterns. Then he says, "Oh, Raimi, you scared me." Cause he came out of nowhere. He says, "I wish to tell you something, a ring." And then he starts telling the story about how, the first time he saw the ring, it appeared in a cosmic vortex, and it basically goes through and it reveals himself to be Volthoom, the first lantern. And Raimi is now dead. Then we kick to 10 billion years ago again, the planet Yukolu. And you get timestamps. This one's 8:33. This girl screams, "I'm late." And then she goes to a job. She's taken off. And then another girl, she's like, "But you just went to bed 2 hours ago." She's like, "Love you, bye." It takes off. Boom. Then she says, "I missed too many days this week. My third gig this month, they're going to kill me." He gets to 9:05. It says, "Computer repair. Sorry, I'm late." It says, "Where have you been? I'm going to report you." The next job she gets to is artificial intelligence circuits are burned out. So she gets to her next job and says, "I'm going to report you." Third job says, "I'm going to report you." The fourth job is another one that says, "Or I'm going to report you." And then she kind of goes nuts because this one is, I got socks that need fixing. Fix this now. It's like a robot that fixes socks.
Says, screw your socks.
Says, screw your socks, and smashes the machine. And then you get home and find she's talking, looks like, to her mother and says, you got fired?
She says, no, I quit.
Yeah. So it's the third job she's quit or got fired from this month. Says, how are you going to pay the rent? And then she, her mom tells her straight up, now this is just a classic, traditional, stereotypical mother. It's like, it doesn't have to be this much of a struggle. You can come home and enlist in the academy. You have a third level intelligence, one of the highest on the planet. And she says, mom, not again. I'm doing what I want to do. So the mom says, don't blah blah me. You're wasting your life on sock computers. It's time to face real life, honey. Then she tells her mom, just, this is my real life, and I'm going to live it the way I want. Click. Then she talks, her girlfriend's sitting on the couch, and they're talking about never going to the academy, but as the two of them are talking about the mom's phone call, a ring smashes through the window and tells her, you have the ability to overcome great fear. There's a great crisis in the universe. You are needed. And the girl looks at it and says, Ginger, I think our ship just came in.
Yep.
Next, you get back to today, and you find this prison in, looks like it's the shape of a ring or a lantern with Volthoom inside of it. And Simon has basically built this to hold Volthoom. But the problem is, he starts breaking through. Volthoom polarized his against green light so he can walk right through the construct. So it's like, this is a guy that they're nowhere near equipped for. As Simon keeps blasting him, he's walking up on Simon, and he just kind of grabs Simon's fist. And he basically says, ring a dose of pure, unfiltered emotional spectrum for the young lantern. And he basically overloads Simon's ring. And it says, warning, overload, warning, warning. And Simon's ring explodes.
Yep. And his hand is now burning. His arm is hurting. And you see the lantern symbols. It's really his tattoos on his arm, but they start to glow green. Now, yeah. I don't know if that means maybe the ring has now went inside by the willpower or what, but his physical ring is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when Jessica comes and she makes a construct of an axe and says, get away from him, while Simon's still on the ground motionless and freaking out and in pain.
Yeah, because there's no oxygen here. Remember, their rings provide oxygen and all these other things. All of a sudden, Simon doesn't have a ring to provide all that.
Yep. And then this is.
But he still has his costume.
Yes. And he's still glowing green.
A little
with
bit.
His tattoo. So.
So, But, so, yeah, Jessica gets one good shot off, then Volthoom turns around and grabs the axe. He says, nothing can kill me now, Jessica. I'm immortal. And she says, oh, great. We're screwed. So it's basically just start fighting back and forth and, fighting and, then, because you gotta remember, her ring was one of the original seven. And those seven rings were created from his travel lantern back in the day.
Yeah.
And he needs his travel lantern to go back and save his planet. This is something we learned months ago in Lanterns, that Volthoom, his whole thing was to save his planet.
Right.
That had already been destroyed. He wanted to go back and save it.
Oh my goodness, it's been so long ago.
Well, it's billions of years now.
So long ago.
But he needs the travel lantern to travel through time.
Time, right.
So he starts talking to her ring, and the ring belongs to me, the travel lantern, and he says, travel lantern, activate. And then you see this black box that says, blocked insufficient permission, because he had already talked the ring and told the ring, activate the travel lantern, and it starts talking back. Voiceprint recognized, greetings, Volthoom, and it's been 10 billion years since your last jump. And then the ring also starts talking to Jessica and says, Jaybird, lo siento, conflict with the unknown programming. There's something else in here. It calls itself the travel lantern. So it's her ring is fighting with itself now. So Jessica is fighting back as hard as she can while he's fighting. He's trying to activate the lantern to go home. And both of them are fighting at the same time. He says, "Planet Earth 15, travel lantern." And she says, she told her ring, get me out of here, me and Simon out of here. Both of them say activate at the same time. And there's a giant crack, and poof.
No, Volthoom is standing there by himself. Yeah, the other two lanterns, Jessica and Simon, are gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, next up, we go back to Earth now, and you get Nazir and Simon's sister reading the letter from Simon. He said, I will be there for your birthday. And this is his birthday.
Yeah.
No matter what has happened before, I care about our relationship. I will be back to spend your birthday with you. And Nazir is looking at the letter saying, well, he's got 3 minutes left on my birthday. It's 3 minutes till midnight. Do you think he's actually going to make it? And she sighs, and then midnight strikes. So he crumples up the letter and says, so what does that make his letter? Something probably came up, right? Just like always. What does that make his letter? Just garbage. I know he's your brother, but he's not a friend of mine to me, not in a long time. He's dishonest. He doesn't mean what he says. And if he does, why isn't he here? And you see him and Jessica being stretched and
like
tortured somewhere. Yeah. They're both of them are have disappeared into something.
Something. Don't
so,
know.
So, and we don't know what's going to happen or what happens from there, because that's the last panel. And it says, next issue, The Betrayal of the Guardians.
Yep.
So well, that was actually our three books for this week. There's some interesting stuff in there. But that brings us to one more thing we got to do.
Yeah, I got two of them.
And that sound, just like every week, means that we've reached our comic shop pull list for this week. This week, it's for July 5th, 2017. And our comic shop, as always, is brought to you by the Shazbots. That's their Song Comic Book Shop. Check them out on Facebook and iTunes. And go to shazbots.com. Let them know the DC Superpowers podcast sent you. We've actually got only got nine books this week, which is different, because that's actually a low number for DC for their books. And the first one, did you want to cover that, or you want me to start with it, and then you can start with number two?
I will get the first one.
Okay.
This is Batman issue number 26, The War of Jokes and Riddles, Part 2. The Riddler and Joker escalate their bloody feud, and the villains of Gotham City are forced to choose sides or be caught in the crossfire. It's up to Batman to push himself to the limit and keep innocent citizens out of harm's way. Art done by Mikael Jun and written by Tom King. Meant to say, since this has to be really... really older now, what he's telling Catwoman, because I noticed something. Clayface is now with Detective Comics,
exactly,
which has the Bat family. And also, Kill Croc was there fighting him, and he is a member of Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. So this has to be before...
This is something that happened back in the day.
Yeah.
So we still don't have the Joker back.
No, we do not. So something... This was when Joker was in his prime still, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So the next one we got is Cyborg number 14. Singularity Aftermath Part 1. Mankind is dead. The world as we know it is gone. Welcome to the planet Anomaly, where all life takes the form of soulless cybernetic hybrids. But one spark of humanity remains deep within Cyborg's robotic husk, and it's the world's only hope for restoration. Guest starring Beast Boy.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe they'll talk about Cyborg being in Titans at some point.
I really hope so. I really, really hope. Dude, I was at the Slim Family get together with Liv, and they're talking about Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
And the kids there were talking about how Beast Boy and Cyborg are the best of friends. And I was like, I don't know, I had like this tear that wanted to run down my eye, like, but they're not in the comic books no more. So even like fans and children today know that Beast Boy and Cyborg are best friends.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe this might connect them back to saying they have some type of history.
Hopefully.
Of the Titans. Who knows? That would be lovely.
Well, the art is done by Will Conrad, and it's written by John Semper Jr.
The next one on our list is Deathstroke issue 21. Something
yes.
else connected to the Titans.
You need to
universe.
Read issue 20. You have it on. You have it available to you.
I think I read it. I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
Too late for me to go
well.
Back. Anyways, for issue 21, Defiance Part 1. A new day has dawned for Deathstroke. Having emerged from the Speed Force, a changed man, Slade Wilson takes aim at living a better life, a life in service of justice. But when the world refuses to accept the new Deathstroke, Slade recreates a group of young heroes to join him, including former Teen Titan Kid Flash, Power Girl, his children Rose and Jericho.
Wait, Power Girl was in this?
Yeah, she's the one to puffballs. That's Power Girl.
Oh, that's the new Power... Okay, that's a different Power Girl. Okay.
And a Bombasket Terra. Now, where the heck did Terra come from? I know him and Terra have history, but... We'll find
yeah.
out. I don't know how that's going to take place. I can't wait to read the book to figure
now,
out where
this,
she come from.
This Power Girl, does she have all the powers of the classic Power Girl where she's basically
she
Kryptonian?
No, she grows.
Okay, this is a totally different version of Power
she,
Girl.
She is a shape... Would I call that shapeshifter? She can just grow
kinda,
and get
yeah,
small.
Okay.
Like,
so she's like Giganta.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why she's Power Girl, but hey. Has Slade truly shedded his villainous past or... Oh, sorry. And the other shadowy forces working against him. Find out in Deathstroke's bold new direction begins here. The art's done by Diogenes Neves and written by Christopher Priest. Now, wasn't issue 20 the one we covered? Was that last week or 2 weeks ago?
I don't know if we covered. And we may have covered that because it was the aftermath of Judas' contract.
Right.
And the Lazarus contract.
And then the last panel, they were all in their black and white outfits. Except, You know, I gotta pull that back up. Now, there was a female there. I couldn't figure out who the heck it was. That might have been Tara. Because remember, possible. I was pointing out, I'm like, is that his wife? Who is this?
Yeah.
That might have been who it is. As you cover the next one, I'm gonna look that up.
Okay. Well, next up, we have Green Arrow number 26. And that's actually been interesting. I've not been buying them, but I've still been able to read them.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's been interesting because there is no more Seattle. They've renamed the city as Star City now.
Yep.
And there's been some other strange things happening with the Ninth Circle. But this is Green Arrow number 26, Hard Traveling Hero Part 1, which Hard Traveling Heroes was the storyline that was in Green Lantern Green Arrow back in the 70s.
Oh, okay. So they're a little mentioned back before. There.
Yeah. Well, unwilling to let another city suffer the same fate as Seattle, Green Arrow kicks off a new quest to hunt down the Ninth Circle across America. To stop disaster before it can happen, the infamously hot-headed Oliver Queen must mend fences with those he's alienated in the past, starting with The Flash. The second epic year of Green Arrow Rebirth begins here.
When I first saw it, all I could think about was the CW series, because in the comics, I never seen Green Arrow and Flash become best buds like they are in the show. So seeing this right here, is maybe we can get a little bit of that. Before I go to the next issue, just trying to find if that was her from the last Deathstroke.
Yeah, you get to the last page.
Yeah, I'm almost...
Well,
oh, here it is.
Okay.
No, that is not Tara at all.
No, that's Ravager. I'm not sure who that is in the background.
I don't know. She has brunette hair with white streaks going... She looks like Rogue, to be honest.
Possibly, yeah.
But I know that's not her. I don't know where they came about or what she'll do, but she was there with Wintergreen.
Well, we got Green Arrow 26 is art done by Stephen Byrne and written by Benjamin Percy.
And next on our list, we have Green Lantern's issue number 26, Out of Time Part 1. 10 billion years ago, Val Hume nearly wiped out the Guardians of the Universe. What power was able to stop him, and where did it go? Learn more about the history of the first Lantern as Out of Time begins. Art done by Ronan Kleek and written by Sam Humphries.
Next up, we got Justice League. Bring it up. Justice League number 24, Afterlives Part 3. Our hero's mission into the afterlife goes horribly wrong when the Demons 3 trap the Justice League in a hellish realm where they're haunted and tortured by the ghosts of fallen heroes, dead villains, and innocent civilians whose lives they failed to save. Art is done by Auclair Albert and Fernando Pessarin, and is written by Brian Hitch.
The next one on our list, we have Nightwing issue number 24, Blockbuster Part 3. Nightwing is trapped in a submarine, and in order to escape, he must defeat the most lethal villain in the DCU, led by Tire Shark. And if he can't escape, Blockbuster will get what he wants.
All of his criminal competition, yeah.
At the bottom of the sea, all along with Nightwing. Art done by Mikhail Jung, Miguel Mendoza, and written by Tim Seeley. The reason I was laughing there, because he said... defeat the most lethal villain in the DCU. Who the
heck? He's talking about Blockbuster.
That's the most lethal?
I guess.
I would not put him in that list, but okay. When I hear the most lethal, I think of Darkseid, you know,
yeah.
Mongol. But that's me. That's me.
Well, next up we get Superman number 26, Road Trip Part 1. It's been an emotional and physical roller coaster for Batman, Lois, and John, the Eradicator, Dinosaur Island, Frankenstein and his Bride, Multiversity, Reborn, and Black Dawn. A barrage of terror and horror. What does the family need right now? Yep, you got it, a vacation.
Of course.
Art done by Scott Godlewski, and it's written by Patrick Gleason and Peter J. Tomasi. And we got one book left for the week.
And the last one on our list is Harley Quinn issue number 23, Red Roses Part 3. The tensions between Harley, Poison Ivy, and Red Tool hit the boiling point. Who's going to stay and who's going to go? And a backup story, Harley Loves Joker, part 7?
Yes.
I haven't seen anything. I'm going to go past part 6. Batman is back on the Deranged Duo's trail. Now, art is done by Sim Timms. Backup art is done by Jay Bone, Brett Belvis. And written by Jimmy Palamani and Amanda Connor. And backup issues also written by Jimmy Palamani and Paul Dini.
Okay. And that brings us to the end of the books for this week.
Got more issue 25s coming up pretty soon.
Yeah. There's more. There's a whole nother run of them that, remember, because they put them out in consecutive weeks. Yeah. So we're coming up on a lot more issue 25s. So, but this has actually been a very much Comic-Con heavy issue.
Yeah.
Which we're probably which for the next couple soon. Of issues, it's going to be that way.
Yeah, I'm... Once Comic-Con actually gets here, we're going to have really nothing but news, I think, coming out of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Be our main source of feed for what's going on with DC Comics at the time.
So, Super Friends, we want to thank you for joining us and hanging out. Remember, look for us on YouTube starting next week, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
One way or another, we will have YouTube content up.
Yeah, we'll try live. If we don't get live, we'll definitely tell you our channel, and if you guys don't mind, go watch it.
Exactly. Also, let us know what you think. I mean, should we keep... Should we, is YouTube a mistake? Should we stay on Facebook Live?
Go back and forth for maybe big events, maybe YouTube, maybe a Facebook Live.
Exactly. Another one that I didn't shout out to, but anybody who may be out in the San Diego direction during Comic-Con, we wouldn't mind a con correspondence. If you guys want to come, if you are going to San Diego Comic-Con and you want to tell us about your experience, let us know. We'll make the arrangements and get you on the show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can Skype in, call in, something.
Exactly. So we will make the technology work for you. So let us know. So Vernon, why don't you let everybody know how they can actually get a hold of us to let us know?
You guys are wanting to hit us up in our direct message box on our social media or send a message, whichever you like, just to contact us. Our Facebook is DC Superpowers Podcast. Our Instagram is DC Superpowers Podcast. And for our Twitter is @SuperpowersDC.
Okay.
For my social media, you can find me HowlNotWolf on Instagram. You can find me VLO on Twitter, and I'm Vernon McWaymore on Facebook.
And then for me, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm Ken Rose. You can also email the show at DCSuperPowersPodcast@gmail.com. We are also members of the Tangent Bound and Weebie Geeks networks at TangentBoundNetwork.com and WeebieGeeksPC.com. So that any of those places that you can let us know if you want to get a hold of us. Like I said, let us know. Are we making a good decision to go to YouTube? Should we stay on Facebook? Should we use Twitter maybe? I don't know. Should we move over to Twitch?
Hey, Twitch.
All the options are available. Right now we're moving to YouTube, so if there's any... Vernon, do you have anything else?
No, that's it. Just want to thank everybody, and if you can, let us know. Contact us. Get some feedback would be nice, so we'll know which one to continue.
Exactly. So, Vernon, thank you for hanging out with us.
Anytime.
This week, and Super Friends, we'll see you next week.